Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Big Book, Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, January 11th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 158, the fourth paragraph, that was in June 1935. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Avi B., 12 Traditions, Terry H., Reader of the Text, Dana P., Jordan L. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Kara L. The reference number for Monday, January 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,382. That's 18382. And for this morning, Tuesday, January 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,387. That's 18387. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Betsy H., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Avi B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Avi.
Good morning. Avi B., overeater trying to recover. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service this morning.
Thank you so much, Avi B. I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Don. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of the Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as a whole ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles beyond personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 158, the fourth paragraph. That was in June 1935. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Dana P. to begin reading. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Thank you so much, Dana P. I'm in California. That was in June 1935. He never drank again. He, too, had become a respected and useful member of this community. He had helped other men recover and is a power in the church from which he was long absent. I've been really meditating on this paragraph yesterday and today after reading the preceding paragraph. It's so powerful, this idea that he had found God, and in finding God, he had found himself. So I'm just like so in awe of this idea. And we can take it literally where it says, and is a power in the church from which he was long absent. You know, I could say, oh, well, he used to go to church and then he didn't go to church anymore, or his particular congregation or whatever that was for him. And for me, you know, I came across a picture of me when I was a young girl, and I'm in a bikini suit, and I think I was probably about 6 or 7. And the look on my face and the way I'm standing, it's just full of the power of God, this confidence and this beautiful human being. And I look at that picture and I thought, wow, wowie, wow. I had God in me. And all this time I've had God in me. I just didn't know it. I just didn't know it because it was obscured by all of the character liabilities that I had built up and made false idols in my life over the years and years of compulsively overeating, vomit purging, and other compulsive behaviors. And so I love that part about in finding God, he had found God, and in finding God, he found himself. And it says that in the book, you know, deep down within every man, woman, and child, there is this conception of God. So it is in us, and there are multiple other places that it says that. So I love that, you know, idea of this power. You know, we have to find a power greater than ourselves, and then we realize in so doing, by working through the steps, and living the steps every single day, that power is inside of ourselves, that God is inside of us. You know, it's this temple, and I don't mean my physical body, but this temple who I am has God inside me. And I love that he helped other men recover, and that he's respected. And that's what I'm, it's like what I want more than anything else. Prior to coming into program, I didn't know it. I was in denial of the fact that I was helping others so that I could get more recognition. But it's like I genuinely want to help other people. And it's like my great joy and a gift of this program. So I look forward to the other shares. And Dawn, thanks again for your service and everyone else who does service on this line and just shows up. So I'm going to pass with that. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Dana P., for getting us started. I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Lauren Grace B.
Lauren Grace B.
Donna
B.
Wanda B.
Wanda B.
Darian K.
Darian K.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Kim O.
Kim O. Okay, let's start with that lineup. I have Lauren Grace B., Donna B., Wanda B., Darian K., Deb E., and Kim O. Go ahead and get us started, please, Lauren Grace B., and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
I'm Lauren Grace B. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And this paragraph was very powerful for me. The person that they're talking about was not able to become a respected and useful member of his community or a power in his church until he was recovered. He was sober, so all of these things could happen for him. And until he was sober, he was set aside. And I'm going, just like the doctor's opinion talks about, I've been in OA many years, but I'm just starting out on my current recovery. And right now I'm in the period of hospitalization, you know. I'm in the period of getting sober, and this is not the time for me to want to be a respected, useful member or a power in the church or in OA. This is a time of humbling myself and just acknowledging my powerlessness over food and my alcoholic food behaviors. And it's very tempting, since I've been in a long time, to jump ahead in the steps. And my sponsor graciously pointed out, you know, you are where you are right now. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that God has shown me where I am in my recovery and is giving me the grace and contentment to live in that space and not try to jump ahead. And that's all. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lauren Grace B. from New Jersey. Donna B., will you share with us now, followed by Wanda B.? Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Denver, Colorado. It's so, so nice to be on the phone live with all of you this morning. I've had COVID and been sleeping an awful lot. So it's nice to be up at this time of day. What really strikes me in this paragraph is he never drank again. Wow. That's just amazing. That's a miracle. That's unbelievable. How is it possible that he never drank again? And that's the promise
of the book. I mean, there are so many promises, but this is the promise. I have the possibility of never going back to my alcoholic food ingredients, never going back to binging and vomiting, over-exercising, laxatives, and just the horrible, horrible pain of trying to get the excess food and excess weight out of my body, off of my body, and completely distracting me from the gift of living, the miracle of breathing and being present and loving and connecting with others in a meaningful way, being present for this life. He never drank again. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just mind-blowing. And he helped other men recover. That these two sentences are in such close proximity to each other is not an accident. Just as much as the book emphasizes over and over and over again that recovery is possible, the Big Book emphasizes, if not more, recovery is only possible when I'm working with others. And I'm so grateful for the team of women that I am taking through the steps, and the team of women who take my 10th steps, and the team of women who have taken me through the steps. It's just a joy. It's a miracle. And it's powerful. He never drank again. Like, wow. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Wanda B., will you share with us now, followed by Darian K.? Good morning, Wanda.
Good morning. This is Wanda B. in Virginia. This is my first time calling in. Reading this, I realize now that I have gotten serious about my recovery, how that relates to recovery in all the areas, spirituality, your emotions, as well as your physical recovery. The last line that was read, it was, he has helped other men recover and is a power in the church from which he was long absent. So this tells me with becoming abstinent, I will also develop more spiritually. And this is something that I'm looking forward to. Pass.
Thank you so much, Wanda B. from Virginia. Darian K., will you share with us now, followed by Deb E.? Good morning, Darian.
Oh, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay, thank you. It's Darian K. from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. A chilly 1 degree here, and I'm home because it's too cold to be in school, so I'm so grateful that I get to call in on the line and talk to all of you because I'm usually my car driving, so this is a joy and a pleasure to be able to share. I just extracted 4 words from that short, wonderful paragraph: respected, useful, helpful, and power. And you know, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to have people respect your program and respect the choices that you make because you have accountability. I never had that before program. It was always trying my best, but not really putting much effort into it. And, you know, failing miserably because I was trying to do it myself with my own very, very weak will. Useful, yeah, useful. Boy, we can be useful because we have so much time in between our meals to do things. You know, to be a part of the world, to not be thinking about food all the time or feeling guilty about the food that we ate or the diets that we need to stay on or that we went off or, you know, whatever crazy obsessions we have when it comes to our food addiction. And being helpful. Helpful is just wonderful. Having sponsees, walking them through the steps, and helping other OA people that, you know, reach out via text or telephone. Love, love, love talking to people in program each and every day. And then giving us power. Power is from our higher power. It's, you know, it's not anything that I have. You know, I do the footwork, but, you know, my higher power is in charge. And I ask for help every morning before I hit the floor, because that's what I need to do. But I need to remember that's where the power has come from all these years, and, you know, that it's freely given as long as I do certain things. There are certain things I need to do, and that includes the steps as well as the tools, which I love, you know, I've heard people share. They're the handrails of the steps. So I am just grateful to be here with all of you, and thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Darian K. from Massachusetts. And now, Deb E., will you share with us, followed by Kim O.? And if you're just joining us, we're on page 158, the fourth paragraph. That was in June 1935, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. And after Deb E. and Kim O. share, I'm going to be opening up the lines again. So get ready to share if you'd like to. Go ahead and share with us, please, Deb E.
Hi, thank you. It's Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And there's so much great stuff in this paragraph. Like it was shared, he never drank again. It's such a powerful statement. Like, those were words that I couldn't even believe were true when I first came into OA. I was like, really? It's possible? Like, it just seemed so out of reach for me. And I think, you know, they're saying that was 1935. I think the book, I'm pretty sure the book was written in 1939. So they're just talking about 4 years, which is a huge amount of time, right? And now we have, you know, we have so many stories of people who have been abstinent for decades and just, you know, neutral around the food and connected to their higher powers for all those years. And so it's really encouraging. I love all these. It's just another glimmer of hope we get in this book, that it's possible for somebody who is, you know, so far into their addiction to not be using that substance anymore. And he has become a respected and useful member of his community. My main community that I identify with is my OA community. It's you guys on this line. It's other meetings I attend. And it's, I mean, I honestly, like, parenting comes in real close, but I feel like this is like the biggest, most important thing that I've done aside from parenting in my life so far. You know, nothing else really comes close. The work we do with others in here is just so important, so much more important than so many other things that I thought were important before. Sorry, I had a timer go off. It just totally distracted me. But yeah, I feel like a useful member of this community. I feel like I have stuff to share. It makes me feel really good and useful when people ask me to share my experience, strength, and hope, and that I have experience that I can pass on to others and hopefully help them. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. Now, Kim O., will you share with us, please? And I'll be opening up the lines after that.
Hi, this is Kim O. from Alabama, compulsive overeater. This is probably one of the shortest paragraphs I think that I remember seeing, and yet it sums up so much. It has hope, and it has a story of someone that has changed, and to know where this alcoholic addict had been and never drank again. You know, I find myself asking, you know, is it possible? Is it possible to never compulsively eat again? And I can be in the middle of working my program and have complete neutrality toward food and be present and turn around the next day and a week later and think that that's not me, that I don't have a problem. But I do. I'm not well, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And the hope is there. It's in this book. I see the stories. I hear the stories. It's on this line. I hear people day in and day out that say, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, that have significant amounts of days and years. And they too have become respected and useful member of the community. And when I'm not sober from my alcoholic foods, I'm not present enough to be a useful member in my job with my son, and my insides don't match my outsides. My integrity is not there. And to be able to be in a place of helping others to recover, I don't know that I've done that so much. And that's a piece that I need to change. And the last part of the paragraph that talks about the power in church, in which he was long absent, for me, when I am active in a faith community, it is because spiritually I'm connected to God. And I'm not spiritually connected in a way that I could be if I am acting out on my alcoholic foods. And this program and this book and these steps give hope.
Time
that I can completely surrender. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kim O. from Alabama. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We are on page 158, the fourth paragraph. That was in June 1935, commenting on that one paragraph today. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Loretta H.
Loretta H.
Kara L.
Kara L.
Carol Lee I.
Carol Lee I. Okay, let's go with those three. We have Loretta H., Kara L., and Carol Lee I. Go ahead, Loretta, please share with us.
Thank you so much, King Tuesday, because you all are saving my life. And thank you for the shares. And I also, that it's a small paragraph that has a lot of power. I'm so grateful. I'm Loretta H., recovered compulsive overeater. And I was just sharing earlier with a fellow on this line that when I came into the room, it was the first honest day of work that I've ever done, because that's step one. I'm so powerless. So I admitted that, and then I became honest with my God first, then with myself, and then I became honest with others. And working with others is the only immunity I have against that first drink, or for me especially, the first non-bite that I want to take at times. And I just find that, as it was shared in the lead, that I know that there is a power within, and when I find God, I find myself. Because right now I am not real very strong, but he's giving me the strength to work out these challenges. And there's nothing in the big book that ever has said that I can't be uncomfortable. But it does say that I need to hang on to that flimsy reed, and that I do have this power within, that I will be done, that I will be one, I will be W-O-N. And I know if I work this program, help others clean house, which I'm doing again because I've had this situation that I've been doing about 50,000 10 steps on, and so I am also doing a 4 and 5 on it. And so it works because I know people, my brother-in-law has 50 years of sobriety, and early on in the program, his son was killed by a serial killer, and he still has this. So he was never to drink again, and he hasn't, and hopefully today I won't. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Loretta H. Now, Kara L., will you share with us, followed by Carol Lee I. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Don. good morning, my fellows. Thank you for everybody bringing us this meeting today and participating in my recovery. Oh, I'm Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I love this list. It could have just said he never drank again, right? Yeah, for me, when I look at this, it's not that, yes, he was sober, but also a respected and useful member of his community, helped other men recovered, power in the church, his church, right? And for me, that reminds me of, it's not just that I don't compulsively eat today. I have to look to my emotional sobriety. I have to look to where I am being service to my community. I'm being of service to others, and I'm being service in service to my religious community. How am I doing all those things? And today I know that I don't really need to decide how to do that. All I need to do is say, you know, higher power, give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or a decision. Higher power, you know, you have my path, show me how to follow it. You know, and so when I look at this, I think of, wow, this is a person who has found their higher power, who is doing their higher power's will. And for me, that gives me hope. Like, okay, I don't have to make decisions. I don't have to know how things are going to go. I don't have to. All I have to do today is take that breath, find that connection with my higher power, and say, thy will be done. And it's the steps, and it's this fellowship, and it's the tools that help me do that, that help me stay in conscious contact with my higher power, that free me up from my emotion, you know, give me emotional sobriety so that I can turn and be of service today. And I'm ever so grateful for that. And I'm ever so grateful for everybody on the line. And I look forward to hearing what everyone else has to say. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. from California. Now, Carol Lee I., will you share with us? And then I'll be taking a few more names. Go ahead, Carol Lee.
Good morning. This is Carol Lee I. from New York. So happy to be speaking to you. Thanks to everybody for their service for putting on this wonderful meeting. This is actually the first time I'm sharing. And I happened to look back. It was 2 months ago that I found this phone meeting, which has been so helpful. I'm not new to OA, but I'm, you know, new to a vision. And this paragraph is wonderful. The first paragraph, he never drank again. This reminds me about the big book and why I love it so much. It is so hopeful. People who've come from the dregs of society, you know, they've been in jail, they've been in the gutter, they've lost their homes, their families, and yet when you read the end of their stories, they recover. It's just a miracle. The world would be such a better place if everyone were in a 12-step program. And I just love OA and the big book. When they talked about this person being a useful member of his community, I find that's true for me. When I'm in the food, I don't have energy for anything else. I'm totally obsessed. My food is not enough. It, no matter how much I have, is not enough. I remember I had read a book years ago, and the title of the book was Too Much Is Not Enough. And that spells it out, because the hole that I'm trying to fill with the food does not get filled with the food. the whole gets filled with program, with the steps, and with the fellowship. And it's just an honor to be on the meeting, and thank everybody for being here in late past.
Thank you so much, Carol Lee. I from New York. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us? We're on page 158, the fourth paragraph. That was in June 1935, and we're commenting on that one paragraph today.
Tamara C.
Tamara C. Who else would like to share?
Karen
Patricia H.
Patricia H. And who was the other person?
Karen C.
Karen C. Okay, let's go with that. Tamara C., Patricia H., Karen C. Go ahead, Tamara. Please share with us.
Good morning. This is Tamara C. from California. And I'm really appreciating this meeting. And this paragraph, it's just filling me with so much hope. So let's see, what I want to share about is this idea of becoming useful and, just like becoming a channel for my higher power to put blessings out there into my community, my faith community, my work community, and the world, and my family, through me, that's a miracle. And I'm at this place of learning that as I'm growing through the step work every day, as I'm becoming more spiritually awake, I am becoming more useful. And there's a lot of hope for more usefulness ahead as I'm, my higher power is healing me from the things that are blocking me from that. I'm so distracted by approval seeking, by just chasing that being enough and being okay, by my own performance and all these things that are just walls that I put up that are in the way of the real me and living according to my deeply held values. And I believe that my higher power is using the steps and the program to break down those walls and let me stand in the sunlight of the spirit so that I can be free to be the real me that I want to be, which is to really, really be thinking of others and really be of service and be a rock that others can lean on instead of always trying to scramble for my security and my enoughness. And I'm just so thankful for the steps and the spiritual recovery. I'm thankful for everyone who's giving service on this meeting and everyone who's here and listening so that we can get better together. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from California. Patricia H., will you share with us now, followed by Karen C.? Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning. This is Patricia H. from North Carolina. I am so happy to be on this call, and I thank everyone for their sharing. This small paragraph has such great substance this morning, and it really encouraged my heart to know that abstinence can bring a real spiritual awareness. And this is my ninth day of abstinence, and already I have such clarity, and I really want to be totally honest with myself, with God, and with others. And I haven't been at this point for a long time, so I can really understand how this man, after months of sobriety, being able to be, to help the community, to be an example. And that's my desire, each one day at a time. And I'm just so grateful to know that we have such a program, and I'm so grateful for the Big Book because I'm learning so much in tidbits. So with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Well, thank you, Patricia H., and congratulations. Appreciate you. And from North Carolina, thank you so much for that share. Karen C., will you share with us now, please?
Hi, yes, this is Karen C. from New Jersey. Gratefully recovered today for about 4 years now. I just wanted, I don't have the book in front of me, but they talked about he never had another drink. And I was with a group of women, not OA women, last night, and one of them mentioned one of my binge foods. And it just occurred to me, like, oh, that's right, I'll never eat that again. And it wasn't like, oh, my God, I'll never eat that again. It was just a thought. And really, though, it's only true if I live in these steps day to day, one day at a time. And if I do live in these steps day to day, one day at a time, I don't want that food. My spiritual life, my life in general is so much better than when I used to eat that binge food that I never want to trade that. So I'm so thankful today to be on this line. I'm crocheting, I'm babysitting my sleeping grandson listening to this. It's just, I'm so grateful. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen C. from New Jersey. And we do have some more time for a couple more shares. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
This is Elaine from New York.
Okay.
That's
Elaine?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, about this paragraph, I can see this. I mean, I see for myself. I've only had 4 days of abstinence, but these are the most 4 days, wonderful days of my life. I mean, really. I mean, like, I wake up in the morning, abstinent. It seems like even when things go wrong, I could deal with it. When I wasn't abstinent, I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't deal with anything. Just waking up was bad enough. And when I was, like I was telling my sponsor, that when I hear my deceased speak to me, I right away pray to God to help me keep not to eat compulsively, and I also tell my disease to shut up, you know. And I know it'll always be on my shoulder, but you know, as each day goes by, it seems to get weaker. I mean, I was in a supermarket, and I got some. Well, I went to my doctor. He told me some things that were sort of upsetting, having to do with whether or not I should go for this knee operation in this time, you know, because of COVID, the way it is. And thinking about that, I went into the supermarket and I said to God, please, God, just help me get what I need to get. And I kept on saying it while I was in the supermarket, and get the heck out of there, you know. Well, it was amazing. I was in the supermarket, and I just was focused on getting these four things. And I got out of it quickly, you know. And so it goes to show you that just reaching out to God, praying, it's a miracle. It's a real miracle. Real miracle that I'm not into the middle of the night eating. And I'm also having to do with working with others. I find that I'm helping people, you know, because that's what they say. You got to help, you know, you got to help people. And this one woman that I text all the time, she's having a hard time, you know. And I just share with her what I've learned in the program. I naturally don't have a sponsor, so I told her she can give the food to me. And I just give an example of what I eat. I'm not sponsoring her or anything, because I can't. But, you know, I try to share my experience, strength, and hope. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine G. from New York. And we have time for another share. Is there someone who would like to share who hasn't shared in the last 3 days? It's a great opportunity.
Hi, this is Joan R.
Hi, Joan. Go ahead and share with us, please.
Yeah, I'm in Oregon. I wasn't going to share, but anyways, I'm just kind of claiming my seat in vision for you. So grateful. for how this fellowship has grown, and just hearing from the experience, strength, and hope of others, and just having the bravery this morning to press star one, because I had to purchase a Skype to be able to get on these meetings because my T-Mobile was charging a penny a minute, and the Skype is, another vision person shared this with me, is only, it's $35 for the year, and just kind of doing the technology to do it. This is a miracle, you know. So, and I believe that is the huge part of this beautiful program is the miracles and the looking at him not drinking, you know, ever again. That's and he didn't drink again, and so I'm hanging with the miracle and with the big book and this wonderful fellowship. So, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Joan R. from Oregon. And we have time for about a minute and a half share if somebody would like to take it. Is there someone else who hasn't shared in the last few days?
Hi,
this is Kathleen W.
Kathleen, there was somebody who came in right before you. Who is that?
Allow Kathleen to go. That's good.
Okay, very good. We'll take Kathleen W. then. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Just wanted to claim my seat today. I haven't spoken in quite a while. But I'm so grateful to hear this message, the message of hope, that we don't have to eat compulsively our alcoholic foods again. And I just thank God for this program. I thank God for the message that it brought me, even though I was 10 years in OA. The message that I heard from this vision group was, it was new to me and put me in the place of being a beginner. And so I had a lot of battles since then. I got a sponsor, a vision sponsor, came out to it. But boy, gosh, when I stopped eating, boy, that shame just started coming up in me that I've been living with all of my entire life, and really battling shame and always questioning, am I really abstinent? Am I abstinent off of me? Going through that kind of thing has just been very painful. But the help of my sponsor and the fellowship, I've been able to overcome that to a great degree. And so I just thank God for this fellowship, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathleen W. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be absent and on a meeting this morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day. To the man who is still sick, the answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.